Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry research team getting ready for another study entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. This is brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we are delighted that you have taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us here, either live or via our podcast download on Blog Talk Radio. I want to encourage you to take a quick look at our chat room in case you want to get a hold of us, make a comment. I have posted there our official website at spiritoftruthministry.net and our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/S T M and our email address. And I hope that you will get your Bible out, get ready for an exciting and dynamic study into not only the truth, but how to find it and how to know you have it when you see it. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, blessed are your names. Thank you for providing this Sabbath day where we can come aside and study to know the truth. Father, do not allow any being or thought to interfere with that process. And I pray that we will all see you soon when you come in the clouds. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good
morning, Larry. And good morning, Rick. I just want to make one small announcement. Every once in a while, my sister does listen. I found out, she said that just to hear my voice is nice. So, Denise, if you are listening, happy birthday a couple of days. We will see each other soon.
Is that the 14th?
It's the 11th.
Or 11th.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow's 10.
Tomorrow's 10.
Or 10,
It's Monday.
Monday.
And, yes, this is my twin sister's birthday.
Fantastic.
And that always gets at least one person, and I enjoy doing that. Anyway, we'll get going here.
Barb's is tomorrow.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless, void. There was darkness over the deep. And God's Spirit hovered over the water.
That's not unlike John 1, is it?
No, it isn't.
Where the word light came into the darkness.
And by the way, I have the Septuagint open. This is the Breton translation. And here is what Genesis 1:2 says. I like that version that you just read, but here's another one. But the earth was unsightly and unfinished. The earth was unsightly and unfinished. That's neat.
Now, unfinished would mean what?
Doesn't mean unstarted.
Doesn't mean unstarted.
One of the things I've derived from that is there was something there.
Yeah.
There was something there. So when the scientists are digging around and they find something that's millions and millions of years old, that's probably very legitimate.
There was something there.
And of course, the 6,000-year people, they fight that like a crazed tiger. But in that verse, to me, it says something was there,
well,
which could be very old.
Let me ask this question. What does it mean, God's spirit hovered?
Well, I wasn't catching anything.
Hovered over.
Is that kind of...
What would that be?
Kind of like a magnetic field.
Ah! A magnetic field.
Now, would you have thought of that if we didn't have a magnetic field on the brain?
What is...
Probably not.
What is... Wind. How is wind created?
Well, wind is definitely a movement of molecules.
Yes.
But what moves the molecules?
You need to have air, atmosphere. But it doesn't appear that there was an atmosphere over the earth at this time. So the spirit would not be air. The spirit would have to be a magnetic field. The breath of life, breath would be a movement of air. Does God breathe? What would breath of life be?
Well, the popular answer is magnetic field.
Magnetic field. It was akin to how we in the healthcare field would restart someone's heart and breathing is by the application of an electrical shock from a magnetic field, a capacitor.
So that when somebody's incapacitated, that's what you do on that.
Yeah, you capacitor them.
Incapacitated, yes.
Back when I was in high school, we had a radio club, and one of the big things in radio is you have to have capacitors along with any number of other things to build a radio. And these help get a current started. They don't continue and maintain a current, but they get a current started. So we would have capacitor wars. We would take and charge up capacitors and shock each other with them. And they're very, very low voltage.
Yeah, you're weird. Yeah.
So that was back in the old days. What's the current thinking on that?
But we had firsthand experience about what it was like to be shocked with a capacitor. And if they get big, they will do a decent job of getting anything started.
So what do you need for a capacitor to...
You have to charge it up. You have to have electric source, a source of electricity.
Well, what holds the electricity in a capacitor?
A field.
Yeah.
And that field is contained inside
magnetic of a... Magnetic field.
Right. And it's just a very, very low, low-grade magnetic field.
Is there air in space?
No, there is not.
So
what is there in space?
Vacuum.
So if I was taking this quiz and I answered everything magnetic field, how many would I get right?
How is plasma held together? So what I'm talking about is, what is the solar wind? Is it air? Not as we think of it as atmosphere, but what is the air or atmosphere of the sun?
A magnetic field. No, that's the containment device.
It is plasma. What is plasma? What makes up plasma?
Energy in a liquid form.
It is ionized
gas.
Well, it's ionized material.
Right.
ionized iron, ionized helium. So plasma is ionized metal, metallic substances anyway, that are held in a magnetic field, and they are held in a magnetic field because they are ionic. They have a positive or a negative charge. When the sun erupts and you have a CME, coronal mass ejection, that is a plasma wind that is expelled from the sun. And it interacts, it blows on whatever is in its path. Why am I going this? What does this have to do with God and the Bible?
It does.
We don't necessarily need to be atmospheric air, the movement of atmospheric air. Wind is the movement of a gas or a plasma. The air, if you want to look at it this way, is a plasma. Our atmosphere, the air we breathe, is plasma. What I'm getting at is, from what I presented yesterday, and that is, how is God? Is there a way to describe God? And I always believed that there was a way to describe God. I just didn't know how you would do it. I looked at various scientific, quote-unquote, discoveries. Euclid didn't discover the way to define, well, Euclid observed a way to describe shapes, but shapes existed before Euclid described them. Euclid created theorems from his observation of the constant behavior of shapes. And when I took my geometry test, the first one, that was a foreign concept to me. When I was asked to describe the triangle and prove that it was an isosceles triangle. And I did the obvious. I said, well, look at it. Of course,
that was not the
right answer.
Exactly.
Could God exist before he is described?
Well, that's a...
You can look at an isosceles triangle and have faith that it is an isosceles triangle. But how do you know it is an isosceles triangle?
Well, and even then, how do you know that all of the angles inside of a triangle equal 90 degrees?
Do they all...
The
180 degrees.
Excuse me, 180
yes.
degrees.
Right. Yeah, I did learn that in geometry. 180 degrees. Because a 90-degree triangle has one 90-degree angle,
right,
and two 45-degrees.
Correct.
So what does this have to do with God? And does it matter? I mean, can't we just believe that God exists and, well...
Can't we just love God without knowing this? I mean, we can love God.
You can do that. But what about those who don't believe in God because they don't believe that just something has always been out there? You have to have some way of putting a context to it. Now, the blasphemous liar, the evil one, who operates in lies, knows that if he just tells one big whopper, that people who bother to take the time to see if the big whopping lie or if the provocative statement is true or not would easily be able to tell an obvious lie is a lie, and they wouldn't believe it. But if you turned a lie, if you took the lie and you developed it on a basis of truth with just a little bit of hyperbole,
distortion,
and you made it so that people would really want to believe it, and so they could kind of halfway prove it, but not completely, but then that wouldn't really matter. So what the devil has done is he has taken the truth of God and distorted it a little bit. For example, what does pantheism teach?
God is in everything.
God is in everything. And if God is in everything, then everything is God. Well, is God in everything? In a matter of speaking, yes. Because God has created everything, and his essence, life, functional operation, is in everything because he's created everything. But that does not make everything God. But in pantheism, it does. What about Hinduism or Buddhism? Same thing. Many things there are true, but they're just given a little bit of a turn. He's done the same thing with Christianity. He's done the same thing with paganism. He has done the same thing with every spiritual belief espoused by humanity on the face of this earth from the time that he told the first lie until this very day. It's all built upon a truism with a bit of a twist. That way, he can accomplish most effectively what he must accomplish to make his deceptions appear as truth. God did not come from somewhere. God did not come into being. Yesterday, I talked about the a concept that when we think about God, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg. What came first? What came first with God? Well, first of all, the word came would mean that there was some place from which, and God did not come from anywhere or anything. God is a consciousness awareness that exists in the magnetic field that fills everything there is. The space before there was anything, before there were galaxies and planets, before there was anything in space, there was a magnetic field, and in this magnetic field is the consciousness which is God. Now, I hope that doesn't trouble you, because I know that people want to see God as a man out in space. And if that's the way you want to see him, what is a man? What makes a man a man? What makes God, God? Is it not what they are? In essence, what are we? What do we take with us when we go to heaven?
The same consciousness awareness we had when we left this earth.
Do we take the same body?
Certainly not.
No. So does that make us something different?
We are who we are.
Our consciousness awareness, what we have developed and built throughout our life, that's all we take with us. So is it disturbing to say that's what God was when God created? Now, I know that God has an image and a likeness because he created us in that image and likeness. So if that's the image and likeness he had from the very beginning and has always had, we are a magnetic field. Magnetic fields hold the material of a planet together. They hold the material of a sun together. They hold the material of the solar system together. You may be tired of hearing a magnetic field, but understanding the magnetic field is of utmost importance to being able to realistically describe how there is a God, and that God is a real being with a perfect consciousness. How that God is able to have created everything. And that when we go to join that God in the heavens, all we take with us is our consciousness awareness, everything that's in our intellect. And that's it. That is all. How is that accomplished? The Spirit of God hovered over the water was the magnetic field. The light created a magnetic field. I'm not going to continually repeat this, but what I want to do is let you know that you can, in your mind, logically, succinctly, and intelligently know that there is a way to define God. That does not cheapen God. It does not bring God down to your level. When Euclid described a triangle, it didn't change the triangle in any way. It was still everything that it was before Euclid described it. But it allowed for a way of connecting. That connection was how that triangle could function. When the Son of God rebuked the wind. Wind is a movement of air. Air's movement is caused mainly by magnetic fields of opposite charges. He can rebuke the wind and calm the storm because he knows how to use the magnetic field. When he said to Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it wishes. Where it comes from, no one knows. Where it is going, no. But you know when it is moving. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Does God want us to be able to describe God?
You know, Rick, that is an exceptionally good question, because we have people who believe that they can describe God via his theology and via his love and, you know, with all of these characteristics that they attribute to God. But when you ask them, when you ask them, how is God? That question that you asked yesterday. How? They say, oh, I believe God exists. I believe that by faith. I don't need to know all of that. All I need to know is the attributes of God. Well, I think that knowing the attributes of God is important, but he gave us a description of himself. And if we ignore that, then we're ignoring part of God.
How is it that we are now facing science, according to scientists who are not afraid to tell the truth? How is it that they are saying we are due for an earth catastrophe that is going to happen soon? It could happen at any time. It is overdue. And they can do this because they have looked at the past. They've looked at the evidence in the ground. They've looked at the evidence on the moon. They've looked at the evidence in the universe and the solar system. They have seen suns in the universe, micronova. They've seen suns, supernova. They know what happens, and they know when the hot gases blow across a planet or a moon, what it does to the surface. And they know that our sun has micronovaed in the past. They know this Earth had an ice age from about 12,000 BCE to 10,000 BCE. And they know that the ice age ended abruptly. How would an ice age end abruptly? You would have to heat the atmosphere abruptly, like a micronova. Now, these scientists are explaining how this is going to happen, and they're explaining what you need to do to survive it. What you need to do to survive it. Have water for 3 days or so. You need to find some place underground so you can escape the radiation. All these things you need to do. There's a seed vault on an island in Norway where all the seeds from edible plants and trees are maintained in storage for what reason?
To survive a disaster.
To be able to plant after everything on the face of the earth has been wiped out, all the vegetation. Here is my take on this. I know that the end is coming, and it may very well involve a micronova, among other things. Turn to Revelation chapter 8. And I'm going to start reading at verse 6. The seven angels that had the seven trumpets, now made ready to sound them, blew his trumpet, and with that hail and fire mixed with blood were dropped on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, and a third of all the trees, and every blade of grass was burnt. Do you know what that is describing? Do you know what a micronova is?
Sounds like a micronova.
Do you know what a micronova is?
It's a gigantic mass ejection.
It's a mini nova. The sun is a giant magnet. It holds its atmosphere on its surface through a magnetic field.
It holds the planets in their orbits by a magnetic field.
So it is an attractor of particles. It attracts, interestingly enough, space dust. And that space dust begins to orbit the sun. And what scientists have figured out is that when enough space dust is in orbit around the sun, the heat from the sun is reflected back to the sun. Now, as I sit here in Southern California, which normally is at this time of year warm with clear blue sky, this year, the winter has seen only 3 or 4 days where the temperature got above 59 degrees. Now, to those who are in the Northeast, that would seem rather warm. For them, this winter has seemed like an ice age, particularly Chicago. I have a friend in Chicago. She says, when I asked her, I says, has it managed to warm up yet? She says, it is freezing here. I think it got almost to 50 below at one time. Scientists who know what is going on say the Earth is cooling and it is going into a mini ice age. They call it the Maunder minimum, when the sun goes to sleep.
So much for global warming.
The dust that encircles the sun, heat, it causes the sun to heat up. When the sun gets to a certain high temperature, it's like boiling water. It blasts from all of its atmosphere. It blasts. It's like a pressure cooker that the lid blows off. And corona from the sun goes out in every direction, and no planet or moon can escape. The first trumpet describes to a T a micronova, because all that dust that surrounded the sun is also blasted out. And as it rains down on the earth, it is like flaming hail. And it says here, mixed with blood. What is blood? Well, it's
made up
red blood cells and white blood cells, but what is blood all contained in? Plasma. Plasma. And what is one of the main ionized material in the sun's corona? Iron. And what does iron do? It rusts.
Oxidizes.
It oxidizes. And what color is that?
It's red.
Red. Like the plasma is red, like blood. Well, if the first trumpet describes a micronova, what does the second trumpet describe? Well, as all that energy has been pumped into the earth and it heats up the earth.
That's the bossa nova.
What? What does that do? Well, earth has magma. And what does magma do? It gets hot and it expands and it what? Blows out of the ground in a volcano. So let's read the second trumpet. The second angel blew his trumpet, and it was though a great mountain, all on fire, have been dropped into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of all the living creatures in the sea were killed, and a third of all ships were destroyed. Could be a volcano.
Not a good time to be a sailor.
What about the third angel? The third angel blew his trumpet, and a huge star fell from the sky, burning like a ball of fire, and it fell on a third of all the rivers and springs. This was the star called Wormwood, and a third of all water turned to bitter wormwood, so that many people died from drinking it. A star blazing like a torch. Sounds kind of like a comet. Now, the fourth angel is interesting. The fourth angel's event that happens when his trumpet is blown very clearly describes what happens in a micronova. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were blasted. Some of your Bibles may say struck. It's blasted. A micronova is a sun explosion, and the material, the plasma ejected from the sun, blasts anything that it comes in contact with. So that the light went out of a third of them. For a third of the day, there was no illumination. And the same with the night. In my vision, John says, I heard an eagle calling aloud as it flew high overhead. Trouble, trouble, trouble for all the people on earth at the sound of the other three trumpets, which the three angels are going to blow. This does not sound good. Unless you know what is going on. For those who know what is happening, for those who know their God and know their God is able to protect them because they know their God, are not going to be troubled, troubled, troubled by the next three trumpets. And let me explain what the state of the situation is at the time when these seven angels begin to blow their trumpets. In chapter 8, earlier there, and let me just say that chapter 8 should begin with verse 2. And before someone gets upset that I'm changing and rewriting the Bible, I'm not. When John wrote this, he did not put in the chapters and he did not put in the verses. He just wrote the whole thing down as anyone would write a letter or an article or a treatise or an account of something. The translators put in the chapter breaks. The translators put in the verses so that they could people could make referral to a certain part, a certain description. So verse 1 of chapter 8 should be verse 18 of chapter 7. You see, that part of chapter 7 describes a multitude in heaven that no one can count. This description is the conclusion of the time of trouble, the conclusion of the judgment of the living. Verse 16 says, they will never hunger or thirst again, neither sun nor scorching wind will ever plague them, because the Lamb who is at the center of, because the Lamb who is at the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lamb then broke the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That is the end of the account from Revelation 7. This is where Revelation 8 should begin. Next, I saw seven trumpets being given to seven angels.
That's verse 2, right?
That's verse 2, in the presence of God. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. A large quantity of incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that stood in front of the throne. What does the word saint mean? What is a saint? A holy person. A person who is holy. Not a person who sees themselves as holy, or who wants to be holy, or is full of faith and so therefore is holy even though they're not.
Or is regarded as holy by some
religion. Right. No, a holy person is holy in fact, not holy in faith. So what is being described here is those who have entered the kingdom, because only holy people enter the kingdom. Only the righteous enter the kingdom. Those who are still sinful are outside the kingdom. So the prayers of the holy people are the prayers of the kingdom. Why are they all praying? Because they know what's coming. You see, it starts out with seven trumpets being given to seven angels. The holy people know this is going on. And they're praying. Are they praying for themselves? No. Then who are they praying for? The world. They're praying for the people of the world because they know what they, the people of the world, are about to get. It is the judgment. Oh, the saints will still be on the earth. They will still be there with them. But they're not worried about what's going to happen. They already know what's going to happen. They know some of them will give up their life. They know that they, what they know for sure is their bread and water will be sure.
Reminds me of the prayer over dinner. Lord, for what we are about to receive, may we be truly thankful.
So the saints are praying, and the incense is mixed with their prayers to present a pleasing aroma to God. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, which he then threw down to the earth. Immediately there came peals of thunder and flashes of lightning, and the earth shook. And I'm not going to say that is all accomplished by a magnetic field. Why is a censer? Why is the censer in heaven, in the sanctuary in heaven, where the angel is making intercession on the altar of incense, and then the fire, the continual fire, is placed in the censer, and the censer is cast to the earth? What does that mean? Atonement that was taking place in the sanctuary in the heavens has come to an end. And now atonement has moved to the earth, where the judgment process is about to commence for the people of the earth. The preparation of the bride has begun. Then we go to Revelation chapter 15. What I saw next in heaven, verse 1, was a great and wonderful sign. Seven angels were bringing the seven plagues that are the last of all, because they exhaust the anger of God. I seemed to see a glass lake suffused with fire, and standing by the lake of glass, those who had fought against the beast and won.
And by the way, understand that these people are in battle. They are combat soldiers. They are in battle. Jesus is not doing this for them and saying, accept what I'm doing for you. Accept it as your own, and don't worry about doing it yourself. You understand what this means?
Now, Dennis. They fought against the beast and won, and against his statue and the number, which is his name. They all had harps from God, and they were singing the hymn of Moses, the servant of God and of the Lamb. How great and wonderful are all your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways, King of nations. Who would not revere and praise your name, O Lord? You alone are holy, and all the pagans will come and adore you for the many acts of justice you have shown. So here is my question. Turn to, just back a page to Revelation 14. I'm going to read this first, and then I'm going to ask the question. Verse 6, Revelation 14. Then I saw another angel flying high overhead, sent to announce the good news of eternity to all who live on the earth, every nation, race, language, tribe. He was calling, fear God and praise him, because the time has come for him to sit in judgment. Worship the maker of heaven and earth and sea and every water spring. A second angel followed him, calling, Babylon has fallen. Babylon the great has fallen. Babylon, which gave the whole world the wine of God's anger to drink, A third angel followed, shouting aloud, "All those who worship the beast and his statue, or have had themselves branded on the hand or forehead, will be made to drink the wine of God's fury, which is ready, undiluted, in his cup of anger. In fire and brimstone, they will be tortured in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, and the smoke of their torture will go up forever and ever. There will be no respite." And night or day, for those who worship the beast or its statue or accepted branding with its name. Here,
Rick, just a quick question. What you're reading here is the three angels' messages,
yes,
right?
Yes.
For our new listeners, is this something past, present, or future?
Well, I was just going to answer
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
So I know we have about 3 minutes left, and I want to say this. You've heard the gospel of the kingdom, correct? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, and then the end will come. And most of us, myself included, believed that it was the gospel of the kingdom that was going to be preached all the way through to the end of the Great Tribulation. But that is not the case. I now understand that is not the case. The gospel of the kingdom is for the kingdom. The kingdom is judged upon their reaction to the gospel of the kingdom, not whether they recognize the first trumpet and the second trumpet and the third trumpet, because their judgment will have already closed by the time the first trumpet is blown. The nations, every tribe, as I read here in the first angel's message, every nation is judged based purely upon the principles contained in the third angel's message. And what is the third angel's message? That those who worshiped the beast and his statue and had themselves branded on the hand or the forehead with that number, they will drink the wine of the wrath of God, not the ones who refuse. That number that no one could count, the multitude around the sea of glass, they are the ones who didn't worship the beast, who didn't receive the mark, who didn't receive the brand. That is not what the gospel of the kingdom says. That is what the three angels say.
And that number is numberless because it has not been fully made up yet.
God has not given us the number. He has said it is impossible to count, not because it's so high, but because there is no fixed number for it.
Thank you, Rick. This is great.
Unsolved variable.
Yes, an unsolved variable. Thank you, and I encourage our listeners to go to our website this afternoon and download this or any number of the other more than 1,000 podcasts that we have. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial at 10 a.m. and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We'll see you next week, and I hope that you all have a wonderful and a happy Sabbath. So long for now.